Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. I'm Demetria, and Tanyelle, you here with me?
Yes, I am, and I am Tanyelle. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. As we should explain, we are not in the same location tonight.
I know, and, you know, I have to be honest, I don't like it either, but I prefer being in the blue room. I prefer sitting across from you. I drive off of your energy as well, you know, but I know there's some times that we have to be in separate places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is what it is.
Absolutely, and, you know, this is never meant to be a burden. So
it's
kind of like, you know, as it fits in our lifestyle, and if we need to be off or do something else, so, you know, this should never be a burden. This is supposed to be easy. So,
yeah.
And so far it has been.
Yes, it really has. It has. It's truly, it's been a blessing. It's been a learning experience, and it has been fun. Can I say that both you and Mr. Bridges, you guys did a wonderful job last week. When I got home, I listened, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that was awesome. I took lots of notes. Hopefully we can talk a little bit about the last week's show as well on tonight. But it was an awesome job. I was really, really, really proud to have said that I knew the both of you all because you guys talked from the heart, you know. So it was a good show.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And I let him listen to it. I had to replay it for him. I think it was last Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. And he was pleasantly surprised. He was.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, different people commented on the show, and people seem to get a lot of it's fun conversation. You know, I would be one-on-one talking with people, and they would then start talking about a situation that you know, just we put on their mind. So there was a lot of feedback, a lot of positive feedback, and I'm grateful for that.
It really was. It was really an informative show. You guys. I always like to tell folks when you're being brave, especially when you're putting yourself out there, you aren't just blanketly talking about certain issues. You use yourselves at certain points along the discussion as examples, and I thought that was very courageous. And Derek handled it really, really well. Because, you know, women, we'll tell everything. Yes, he did. Women, we tell everything, you know, but in men, they're very private.
And I appreciate him so much because he did step out of his comfort zone to do that with me. So I'm grateful to him. I appreciate him.
So what tonight, we got going on today?
Tonight, the title of our show is Lord, Hear Our Cry. And this is coming from, for those of you who did not tune in last week, at the end of the show, I mentioned that last Thursday, which was May 7th, was the National Day of Prayer. This is an annual event. This this past year's National Day of Prayer was actually the 64th anniversary. So I don't know if people are generally aware that this event even goes on. But multiple presidents have been signing the proclamation, and thank God for that, saying that, yes, let's come together and officially pray as a nation. And that event took place on last Thursday. There were multiple prayer events all across the country. Voices were being lifted up in groups, as individuals. And we just went to God, to our Creator, our Maker, the one who knows us, to ask Him to intervene in the affairs of men. And we just want to springboard off of that event and bring it into our conversation tonight, because this country is facing some things, and we need God to move on our behalf. So that is the heart cry of tonight's radio segment. Lord, hear our cry.
Yeah, I like it. We are really in some difficult times right about now. Great times, but still some times where there are a lot of issues that are being addressed, and there's a lot of divide on those issues, especially when it has to do with what does God say about those issues. There's still
exactly.
a lot of division. Yeah, there's still a lot of division even on that. If it says, if
exactly.
someone is to say, well, God says it this way, so this is why, you know, I'm looking at an issue, or my opinion is this way because this is what God says.
Right.
And there's been a lot of divide even on that.
Right. And the thing is, you know, we've just come so far in this country. And I'm talking morally right now, morally, spiritually. And this is why we believe we need God to intervene. We're in a day and age where people are really declaring what they determine is right and wrong, and are just going with it. There used to be such a high standard of God and what we felt and what we knew that He was calling for. You know, that was just a standard for measuring right and wrong. And to a great, great, great degree, that line is blurred now, and people are making up their own righteousness. But I want to let you know there is still a standard. Don't be deceived. As the Bible says, God is not mocked. So it may seem like He's not taking notice. You know what, Tanya? Tonight we're going to be talking about some of the things that have been in the headlines, current events. And I didn't mean to start with this right away, but one thing that came to my attention this week is how many people are actually walking away from the Christian faith. That's something that's going
yeah.
on currently. So people are
yeah.
actually, who have been, you know, just staunch believers, I mean, rock solid, or so they thought and we thought. I've read some of the articles and heard what people had to say and why they decided to leave their faith. But at the end of the day, there is still a standard, and it is God's standard. And we don't make our own standards. It's His and His alone.
And I think,
and we do the
and
best.
I think Dimitri, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we do our best to measure up to that standard. He knows we're flawed. He knows we're flawed. But that should still be our heart's cry and our goal, that we need and measure up to His standard.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think part of what I was just mentioning early on is because people are just, there's so many things on the table right now, so many decisions that are being made, and because of emotions and love for our loved ones, folks are just, I guess, in a trying time, basically, what do I choose? Difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even take a leap that faith is difficult, and it's difficult to believe in a God that you don't physically see. And I'm just speaking from, I'm just going to put me here. And just, you know, God has left us this wonderful words, the holy scriptures. And the other part of it is that we have to believe, we have to truly believe that there's a God. So when you talk about this standard, in order to even abide by the standard, we have to believe that there is a God. And so you now you're believing in something that's not physically in front of you, but then you may have a loved one who is physically there in front of you, and some of the things that the Bible is saying is contrary to that loved one's lifestyle, your lifestyle, and you're trying to figure out how do you deal with that. And just having talked with people, that's some of the difficulty just as of late when you just mentioned people leaving the Christian faith, just finding it difficult to deal with those boundaries that God has set forth for.
Right, right. Because we want our way, a lot of us. It's about self-will, mostly. It's about self-will. And, you know, once again, there is a standard. It's not what's right in my own eyes. And at least on this point right now, I'm talking about maybe to those who have known God. And when you make that conscious decision to say, you know what, don't want it anymore. In this part of the conversation, I'm talking about those. That's a troubling thing for me. This is why we need prayer. So this whole show tonight, we're just going to be mentioning a few things. I know we won't get to mention a whole lot, but just some things to point out why we need God, why we need to call on Him. We can get started with some of them. I just mentioned that one headline about Christians walking away from the faith. Another one, we know how bad the crime situation is in this country every day. We turn on the news or turn on the radio and we hear the reports of one killing after another, multiple killings overnight. You wake up in the morning and it's like, well, I want these people at home asleep in bed. So, once again, we need His protection. We need to call on our God and just say, Father, help us. Because obviously, He can help us.
Yeah, and there's been something that has been troubling me also going on Yahoo. Because I'm not watching much television lately, but seeing the headlines of parents who are murdering their children. And I think I talked to you about that a while back. And I'm just saying, what's going on? And not saying it hasn't happened before, but I'm just seeing it in an abundance. And brutal murders. And innocent children who are being murdered. There was a case where a mother had locked her had killed her children, and later on they found them in an ice box. I mean, just brutal things that are being done to children. And I'm saying, what's going on? You know, what's going on? That's another thing, turning to God for guidance and prayer. Kind of reminded by the prophet Jeremiah who was labeled as a weeping prophet, and, you know, just having preached and labored for over 50 years to get people to turn to God's way, and just, you know, feeling heartbroken because folks weren't getting it. But he can see the consequences of folks not getting it. And, you know, it's been moments like that where I just felt like, God, what's going on? You know, we need you now more than ever. We need you.
Yes, we absolutely do. And, you know, there is a creator. He did create this. He's the creator of this world. And to think that there was a moral standard in this country, and we're particularly focusing on the United States of America. We may mention some other countries as well tonight. But to think that the God of the universe, you know, he created all of this, and that one day we would be at this point facing some of the things that we are asking, the questions that we're asking, you know, I would have never thought we would come this far. And I'm sure, like maybe my grandmother's generation, she probably would have never thought things would have come as far as they had at, when she was living. But from one generation to the next, I am literally just knocked off my feet with the moral decline. You know, as African Americans, you know, and our ancestors who were slaves or who were sharecroppers, we know life was hard. There was abject poverty. I mean, come on, but they weren't going around killing and murdering each other. They had a very strong sense of God and who he was in waiting for the day that he would bring deliverance. So I'm saying that because some of what I hear about some of the conflict that's going on in this country is because of poverty. So let's just go with the racial tension right now. That's been making the headlines. So there's all this racial tension, protests because of conflict with the police, and not only with African American, mostly men, but that's been the major story that's been in the news lately, right? When I've listened to some of the reports, I read articles, and it comes back to why some of these young men find themselves in the position that they do, where they were maybe committed a crime, maybe they weren't, you know, but a great majority of them have been, and the police have been in pursuit of them. Mm-hmm. And chances are they're not going to win in that situation, and that's what we've been finding. I don't know how you feel about that whole thing. I'm so conflicted about it.
Well, my heart is broken about that because, you know, again, as I grow my relationship closer with Christ and I'm beginning to understand that there's so much more deeper issues than just the racial divide. And for a human being to, you know, to brutally beat or shoot someone, even if you're in an authority position, if you're the police and, you know, there's somebody that you're pursuing, it doesn't matter your position. You're to treat every person, every human being with respect. And so what we're seeing a lot and what you and I, you know, and the rest of the nation is seeing that there's a lot of revelation that's coming out where we're starting to see that police have been, some police, let me slow down,
right,
have been acting inappropriately.
Right.
And so, you know, it to me is beyond just a racial issue. It's a sin issue. And we were so much trying to get a gentleman on here that talked about that so eloquently. But it is a sin issue because you shouldn't want to treat anybody bad for their skin color or because of their socioeconomic background. You shouldn't. You should not.
Right.
And so it's a very heartbreaking, it's very heartbreaking, some of the events that are going on, even with the criminal aspect. You know, the new show here, First 48, it's not new to the nation, but it's new to New Orleans. And, you know, I watched it a couple of months ago, and just seeing some of the criminal activity that has gone on with some of our youngsters. And the First 48 will show more than somebody was killed. Now it's starting to show us the reason, the motive behind it. And Demetria, mm-hmm. some of the reasons that these children are killing one another, it baffles the mind. Most of it is not because, you know, you harmed me. Not that that should be a reason.
Right.
I just
right.
want to preface that. But a lot of it is I didn't have any money. So, you know, it was Christmas time. And you shot a person that you knew over $1,000 and put them in a trunk
right.
of a car. It baffles the mind. And so, again, I'm just looking at the fact that love is gone. People are not even loving themselves nor one another. And they're going beyond the boundaries that God has set forth for us. We shouldn't be treating
right.
each other like that, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Just again, the it's not just the racial thing because we're some of these people are killing each other. We talk about black-on-black crime, so that mm-hmm. we even remove the police officer from that. So mm-hmm. it's very much a moral issue. But when it comes to protesting things like the police, the misappropriate, wrong behaviors of the police department and these deaths of people who weren't armed and, you know, when it comes to that and all the protests and some of the protests turned violent, there's so many other things. I'm just going to mention a few things that are in the headline right now because I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Pretty soon the Supreme Court is going to be making a decision on whether or not to redefine marriage in this. We know that marriage now is defined as between one man and one woman. So pretty soon they've already, both sides have made their arguments in the Supreme Court. It's now in their hands, and it looks like there may be a ruling as soon as June. So I think about that. When I think about the protests in Baltimore, in the other cities across the country, when we think about the crime that may not be happening in our neighborhoods, but we turn on the TV and we see it on the news, even the response to, like, this past week, I don't know if you're aware, there were earthquakes in Nepal. The first earthquake, major, major earthquake, was in April, end of April. There was another one. So these poor people, already some 8,000 people were killed in the first one. Now there's even more fatalities in the second one. My question is, as believers, what is our response? When we sit back and watch those protests on TV, what are our thoughts? It's not in my neighborhood. I'm not going to worry about it. What is it? I don't even want to, some of us are saying, I don't even want to know what's going on. You know what? I'm just gonna focus on the Lord, you know? What should our response be as believers?
You know, for me, Demetria, again, that has been a thing where I've really had to see God in prayer. Especially you mentioned a variety of things. The Baltimore incident, the issue of perhaps changing, redefining the definition of marriage. And just to touch on that a little bit, I've had to go into prayer about that because I think, like I mentioned early on, just people finding it very hard to believe in their God, believe in our God, the only one and true living God, and then what God says is totally contrary to some things that even our own loved ones are deciding to do. And so the issue with same-sex marriage, I really had to go to God first. I already know what my decision is. Of course, I'm not for it, but still knowing that I still have to exemplify love to others and not to be judgmental, to beat people down. Like there was a guy who got out of his car and he literally physically beat two men because he saw them kissing. That's not what God is about. You know, Jesus expressed to us in, Jesus expressed to us and gave us examples of how to love one another and also hold one another accountable. There's a scripture that says iron sharpens iron, that we're, you know, if we're to learn something and you may know something or may not know something, me see that, and then I can help you. If you're open to it, then I'm to, you know, offer you that advice. But if you're not open to it, I'm not to brutally stuff it down your neck. But at the same time, you should respect, and this is for folks who are possibly siding with same-sex marriage, respect the side of the other person who has their standard, and which is God's standard, and not have it be this brutal fighting match, if I'm making any sense. It shouldn't be that way. You know, and like I said, it's been very, that thing has been very difficult to, what, you know, should you be silent? What should you do? And I feel like if I believe in heterosexual marriage, then why should I be silent about that? But at the same time, you know, if there are people who are at work with me who believe in the contrary, believe in something different than me, it's not for me to be rude to anybody, you know, and be abusive
no,
to anybody. As a matter of fact, I'll pray for that person in my own sacred time. I'm not going to go up to you, touch your head,
right.
and say, let me lay hands on you and throw all of
right.
on you and say I'm taking excesses out of you. Know, I'm not going to do that. I'll pray for God quietly in my own time, as I've had to have prayer for even my own self, you know, on things that I've done that were contrary to God's word.
Right, right. I know sometimes it can be quite overwhelming. Everything that's coming at us, you know, through the media. We're living in the age of a 24-hour news cycle now. You wake up in the morning, you can get news, I mean, all day long. So it's nonstop. Then I thought about it today. I was like, sometimes can you even trust what's being reported?
No, you cannot.
There was a reporter... this lady who wrote this article for, I think it was Rolling Stone magazine, she was talking about this gang rape that had taken place on a college campus. Well, it turns out it wasn't true at all, not even a little bit. So now they're going to find themselves with a lawsuit slapped against them. But it just got me to thinking, you know, what, you know, can you even believe some of this stuff? Some of it is very true. Right now, though, a lot of it is just so negative. So I do understand wanting to separate yourself from it, to turn it off. There's only so much of it that I can take in before I decided that I've had enough and I'll turn it off. But I do believe that even as a believer that I need to be aware of what's going on in this world that I am in, but not a part of. I know this isn't my home. But I'm here and I'm engaged here right now. So I do think it's important for us to know what's going on so we'll know what to go to God about, so we'll know how to be there for each other. I mentioned these earthquakes. Somebody, it might be impressed on somebody's heart to try to reach out to these people and help them. We know that happened when Katrina hit our area. People the world over reached out to New Orleanians to help us. It's one thing, though. I've got so many different thoughts, Tanya. You have to
go ahead. No, you go right ahead.
Because, you know, we're talking about a number of different subjects, and I see what's going on, like, in Nepal and the earthquakes, and our hearts go out to them. But we were just talking about, like, the Baltimore conflict, the poverty and all that. Should our hearts not be going out to them as well?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. Again, I just look at that with the individuals who are upset, they're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good group of people who are upset and they're frustrated and they don't know where to place their frustration. I'm talking about in
right.
Baltimore. And then there's another group that just, they just want to cause havoc, you know.
Right.
But even in both of those groups, my heart goes out to both groups. You know, my heart even goes out to the police. Let me tell you something. Before, I probably would just, this is racist, this, and I believe race is in there, right? But, you know, they should tear the city down. But again, when you become aware of the boundaries that God has set forth for us and also the love that God has for us, and he's given us direction of how to live in this world. And so part of living in this world is when there are a bunch of hurt people or a bunch of confused people, the believers in Christ, we should do just what you mentioned early on, Nisi, and we should go to God in prayer. And then once we do that, there are certain things that we can, you know, that through God's guidance that we can be led to do. You know, if it's a group of individuals going to Baltimore to volunteer, and that volunteering can look like a gamut of things, holding, you know, small prayer gatherings, or even counselors may volunteer to go and give counseling services to people who don't know how to deal
right.
with the difficulties of when somebody has been brutalized possibly by law enforcement,
right.
how do you deal with that? Because that's a lot of misplaced
right.
anger. So there's one thing, we do pray to God for guidance, but then, God, what do? And there's so many people with so many gifts, so many talents that can offer those individuals some support. You know, you have your football players who get the ear of African-American men who are positive individuals who can say, hey, guys, sit down. Let's talk about this. This
one
is how you this is how you place your anger. You know, there's a myriad of things that we can possibly do. It, even right here at our own home, in our own backyard, we can look at that and maybe even start, you know, doing some of that right now. This is how you deal with issues if this happens. And this is where you can go if that crisis happens, instead of going and burning down a building and you know, and raiding somebody's business.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think it would even be a good idea to maybe somebody coordinate between the police force and the protesters. Let's have a sit down. Let's have a meeting of the minds. Let me hear your frustrations and you hear mine. And let's see if we can come to some kind of terms, because something has to give. Something has to change. Tanya, let's go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be back and we'll continue this conversation after our break.
Great conversation, Demetria. We'll be right back, guys.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Along the Way Radio. I'm Demetria.
And I am Tanya.
And you know what, Tanya? We haven't given the phone number out yet, so let me do that right now. You can call us and chat with us by dialing 347-637-3604. If you'd like to chat with us, by all means, press the number 1. I do see a caller in on our switchboard right now. I would love to hear your thoughts on what we've been talking about thus far. We really just jumped right in with this conversation. It's a deep one to me.
It is, and it's one that should be. I'm sorry. We're not in the same room, so I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
I know. It's okay. It's natural. It's real life. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it's one that should be, you know, handled really delicately and with wisdom, you know?
Right. There's so much to mention this other headline. You know, that the Boston Marathon bomber, you know, he was found guilty. He's awaiting sentencing right now. I found it interesting that, remember the nun who was a part of that Dead Man Walking story, Sister Helen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was a movie with Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn years ago. That movie was based on her, and that she met with the death row inmate. And she is against the death penalty. So she actually went to meet with Tsarnaev, that's the Boston Marathon bomber. And she said that he was remorseful and thought it was a shame that all those people were hurt and those who died. But she is very much against the death penalty. Just wondering how people feel about that, because that is another issue that we face as a nation. Some people for it, some people against it. I personally, I'm against it. I just am. But this is another one of those things that when I hear about, it gets me to thinking. And sometimes it seems like people even rejoice at things like this. Like Bin Laden. Yeah. I didn't rejoice when they said Bin Laden was killed. You know, I saw people dancing in the streets and just, you know, time to party, and I was troubled by that. You know, we're talking about current events and things that have happened in the headlines, and that troubled me.
But, Demetria, why did it trouble you? Because, you know, that's something to be
said. Because they were rejoicing. Because they were rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was anything to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Because overall, the whole thing is sad. To have a person, you know, come up with an evil plot to kill innocent people is sad. And then the other end of it is that now, you know, law enforcement the military there are an arm of a law enforcement for our nation, having to go out and avenge this man, you know, avenge the death of all those people. It's all sad. It's all sad that it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's all sad. It's just sad. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's all I can say is that
a lot of the perspective I'm coming to is what should our response be as believers. I don't think our response as believers should be to go out and dance in the streets, because even this this madman was killed. I just don't see that as being the response of a believer.
And that's why I ask you the question of why, because I knew that's where you were going, but the response should be different. And that's a very tough response. It's a very tough response. And I'm speaking from Tanyel's standpoint as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very tough response. And there's often times that I've had conversations and I'm like, Lord, you expect me to, okay, so I have to literally do this. Now I'm talking about something small where I've even had to forgive somebody who's wrong. And I'm just like, ugh. I think you mentioned a time ago when you said, I felt I had the right. I understood where you were coming from. You know, I had the right to be angry. But God transforms our thinking, and the response shouldn't be that. And then he also helps us along the way to accept that this is how the response should be, because that's a difficult, response to say, okay, I'm just going to pray for Bin Laden because he's blown up the Twin Towers. You know, the human reaction would be, yeah, go get him. Go get him. I was one of those people who was watching the news, you know, intentively when they kept updating on where he was. And yes, not understanding at the time that you have to even pray for your enemies.
Right.
And that's tough.
Yeah, and the Bible says in Ezekiel that the Lord doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know,
yeah.
I'd rather they turn away, you know, from their sins and live. But that doesn't mean if they don't and if they die in their sin that he's pleased with it in no way.
So I completely, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you also posed the question, you know, the statement the way you did, because that's one of those things sometimes it's difficult to when I began, you know, reading the Bible, it was so difficult to look at myself. Like, it was a mirror sitting right in front of me, and I had to really deal with some truth, you know. And not saying I'm picture perfect now, because I'm still a work in progress, and we addressed that
exactly.
in the last show when we said we're going to be we're under construction until we meet him, right? So we meet Jesus again.
That's right.
But some things are a little bit more clear. There's some things I need to talk with God so he can walk me through it. And that's one of them, the forgiveness thing. You know, what would you do mm-hmm. if somebody harmed your loved one? Would you forgive them? You know, and God will, he will take you by the hand through that forgiveness process. He really will. You mentioned, just going back to the redefining of the same-sex marriage, I remember when I was shacking up. And I remember coming back, and I'm trying to say really quickly because I know we're down to an hour now with our new timing. So I remember I was in Tampa with my ex-boyfriend, and we were going to then go to Orlando to visit my uncle. And en route to Orlando, I had already spoken with my uncle, but by this time we were getting a little bit closer, and I called my uncle again and said, you know, we're en route to Orlando. And his wife answered. And so she said, well, I didn't know you guys were coming. And she's kind of, you know, curt, just really mean kind of sounding. And I said, yeah, you know, my uncle didn't tell you. And then so she says, well, listen, I have daughters, and you guys cannot sleep here. Now, it was the way she said it, the delivery, because I hadn't intended on uh-huh. saying that anyway, because I would respect someone's home. And I say all that to say is that I always knew, even when I was living with someone, with a male outside of marriage, I always knew it was wrong. And I mean wrong by God's standards. I just decided to do it my way, right? And and so I never wanted to pose that on anybody else. And if somebody told me that it was wrong, I never was angry with them. But the delivery of you telling me it was wrong, it just turned me off. It just really, and so I immediately turned my car around and I was headed back because I had already been in Tampa for 6 days and was going to, you know, extend the trip to visit my uncle. And I turned the car back around. And I wasn't mad because she said we couldn't stay there because I already had booked a room. But I was upset about uh-huh. the way she delivered it to me. And that's why I go back and say that it's our delivery sometimes when we're sharing God's truth
right.
and sharing the gospel of truth of how
right.
we're supposed to. It's in our delivery. And then also for the person who's receiving it, you have to be open-minded and say that this person is not attacking me. It's really their belief system. They're believing in this God that I even say I might believe in too. I'm not certain. I don't know, whatever. But they're believing in this, and it's not an attack on me. So my prayer and prayer has been that there's some peace, even with this redefining this marriage, that there's some peace amongst the protest that's going on out there, and that God be the deciding factor of it all.
Well, we do have to be prepared either way. We got to know that this world system is not a godly system. So, you know, we may be disappointed by some of the things that are getting ready to be decided, you know, some very strange things going on that don't even seem to make sense to me, or, you know, we want to make all the bathrooms unisex now. Why? Was there something wrong with having just the men's room and the ladies' room? Why are you even bothering with this? You know, so...
Right.
Some cities are really making it their business to change this. I just heard today that now as far as children who may be trying to self-identify as the opposite, they were born, now in school, they I don't even know if it's the kids who want this or just some body who's stirring the pot, but now they want them to be able to pick which sports team they play on. So
my goodness.
If a boy, he identifies as a girl, he ought to have the choice to play on a girl's team. It's like, was this broken? Why are you even fiddling with this? So some things are just,
yeah.
I wish we would leave them alone, but it doesn't look like we are.
Even with sororities and fraternities and all of that, there was a group of guys that now want to be a part of a girl's sorority. And I'm just, and again, it goes back to, you know, yes, it's contrary to what the Word of God says, but then there's a level of, come on now, you know, there shouldn't be some forceful. It's, everything is being forced. It's being forced. And then if you're not for it, then you are an evil Christian. You're a horrible Christian. You hate all people. And that's not true.
Yeah.
And that's so far from the truth. One of the things that – go ahead.
No, it is far from the truth. I know that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And I think we have to kind of lean to that mindset even more so now, because it's quite clear that this world system is not a godly one. So this is not our home. We are not of this kingdom. And we've got to remember that, too. So as we walk through day to day and we see these issues, I very much believe we ought to engage in these issues and be that image bearer for God while we are here, this side of heaven. I believe we have a duty and a responsibility to do that, but we've got to have our hearts and minds built up that it may not go the way we want it to, and we still have to be able to stand even in the midst of that.
And you know what, Missy, this isn't new. And, you know, this is why I love the Bible so much, because there's so much guidance there. There's so much you can lean on for support there. Because, I mean, this was all through biblical, you know, times. So sometimes people say, oh, the Bible is outdated. No, it isn't. It's not. You know, where you had what we call kings then, your presidents and your governors, where they would have their own agendas, you know, and some of those agendas are not their agendas per se, or they were just overwhelmed by what the people wanted. And so some of those things were contrary to God, and you even saw then where kings were turning away from God. And there were consequences. God was hurt. You know, you saw prophets who kept trying to warn, and which would be now preachers who are trying to warn, and then people wouldn't listen. But the same thing holds true, is that we must remain in prayer, just like even those examples back then, and that those who are believers, be the example, don't conform to what the world is doing.
Don't compromise.
Yes.
That's happening too. There's been so much compromise across the body of Christ, and that's why I keep going back to, wait a minute, it's God's standard. It's God's standard. And if we as believers, we have to keep that at the forefront of our minds and our hearts. It's God's. Even in the face of great adversity, we have to stand.
When you say
we're
great
not
adversity, you have Christians who are being attacked by ISIS. That's one of, to me, I mean, you have individuals who have had people walk up to them and say, what do you believe in? And they have not conformed unto death.
Right.
And so,
right.
I mean, that's something that, you know, you or I have not been faced with, but this is what God is calling us to do, that, I mean, you believe in me and my son Jesus Christ unto death and not conform to this world. So, you know, the Christian faith is under attack in so many different areas. And even with that, you stay prayerful and vigilant, because I've even, like, Lord, I'm getting on an airplane. Who's to say I get off the plane and I'm walking to my rental car, whatever, you know, somebody don't walk up to me and say, who do you believe in? And what am I going to say? And I have to say and take a stance on who I and what I believe in unto death. You know, so that's just another one of those issues that are out there that we hear often about in the news. You know, people who have lost their lives because of their belief in Jesus Christ.
Right. And we can't be so lax as to think that things like that may not happen in this country. We just have to be prepared, and we have to be vigilant and on our post. No, we don't want those kinds of things to come, but adversity is coming. I mean, this world system is not going to get any better, but our lights can still shine. We are, after all, called
absolutely
to be light and to be salt in this world. And so we have to perform our function as light and salt, bringing light to those dark places. Salt preserving things that are rotting and that are decaying, we still have to be that salt that has not lost its flavor.
And what does salt do? Salt preserves.
There's a lot of dead and decaying situations that's going on in that. So we do very much have to be on our duty and fulfilling what God has put in our hands to do, and not sticking our hand in the sand or just turning away from it's somebody else's problem. You know what? We're just going to kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. I don't think so. Jesus, I can give you two examples right now that if I look at them a certain way, I can say, you know what? There was Jesus telling us we do need to be engaged socially with what's going on around us. I think about the man who was on the road and the robbers beat him and mm-hmm. the priest came by. Then the Levite came by. These were the religious folks. You had no time for him. And then that Samaritan, the despised one, came along and helped him. And Jesus said, who was a good neighbor? Who was a good neighbor mm-hmm. to this man? The one who showed mercy and compassion. Now, we don't know what that man was doing on that road. He might have been a criminal himself. We don't know. We don't know his situation. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what those people are doing on the streets of Baltimore or wherever else, these other cities. They may have put themselves in the wrong situation, but there's still room for compassion. They definitely didn't need to lose their lives. Did not need to happen. The one man selling cigarettes, loose cigarettes or something, that man should not be dead because he was selling loose cigarettes today. So whatever they may have done or may not have done that put them in the situation, there's still a call for us to be that good neighbor.
Absolutely. I'm reminded by Paul when he said in Romans to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. And that scripture right there, I would let it pierce my heart and it would resonate with me. And there was some times that I literally couldn't either. I'm not going to be a part of the discussion if somebody's not talking, if they're cursing and talking lewd, talk, or if it was just not going the right way. Either I may say something about it or I just get up and I walk away. And when I get up and walk away, if they'll ask, why did you walk away? Then I may say something, and not with a paddle stick where I'm beating you brutally. But, that's just a little offensive what you're saying. And I've had to do that at work. I've had to do that at work with my own employees and manager and say, listen, that's just not how I address people. And talking to folks. So if you don't mind, don't address me in that way. And it was a peaceful way of saying that, So, Demetria, we have to continue to pray. There is mm-hmm. a lot going on around us, but we know we serve a living and true God, and He is alive and well, and He's in control of it all, and that's what I'm constantly reminded about, that He's in control of it all. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my heart is full right now, and just as we end this show, I do just want to call on Him right now and just cry out to our Father. So can we do that? Can we do that now?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just don't know if you had something else that you wanted to say before we close out with prayer. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to do that.
No, I think this is the best close, to close out in prayer. I really do. So you go right ahead.
Okay. Father, we just come to You and thank You for who You are in our lives, for who You are, Father, throughout this land and in the body of Christ and the whole world over. You are the maker of the universe, oh God. Father, we want to come and just give you praise and give you honor, Father, for who you are and for all you've done in our lives, for sending your Son to die to save us all from an eternity spent away from you, from an eternity spent in that hell and damnation, Father. You made a way so that we could spend eternity with you and in your presence, and we thank you for that. So we come now, Father, and just repent, Father, for sin, for our own personal sin, Father. We just call out on behalf, Father, of even our families, Father, and for loved ones, Father, who may not even recognize the sin nature in their own lives yet, Father. We know it's there.
Amen.
So we just repent to you, Father God, and we ask that you would start to open eyes. We know you're already doing it, Father, but Father, we just ask you to move now. Open the eyes, open the hearts of men, women, and children, Father God, that they might see you and see the great work that you've done. Father, we ask you to intervene on our behalf. We ask you to be a part of our lives, to guide us, Father. Show us which way to go. We don't know, Father God. And when we think we know, we don't even know, God. We just
Amen.
Want to be right in the center of your will, Father. We want what you want for us. And so, Father, that means we have to yield to you. And we choose to yield to you, Father. We yield to your way. We yield to your command, Father God. To speak to us and tell us the way to go. Show us the path. Give us the strength and the endurance to walk in it, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's give you great praise and great honor right now.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you because I know you have not left us. You won't leave us alone to do this. You've not left us to figure it out on our own. You're ever with us. You never slumber. You never sleep. You've got us right in the palm of your hand, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Give us
thank you,
Father,
Lord,
to be your image bearers in the earth today, to be light and to be salt, Father, to a lost and a dying world.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And we serve you with humility, with love, with mercy, Father, because you showed all those things to us. Equip us to do the same, Father, for others who would come into your family. We just thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy. We bless your name tonight, oh Father. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, Demetria, this was a wonderful show. Some difficult things to talk about, but I, with God's grace and his guidance, I think we handled it really well.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more that could have been said, but I think enough was said.
Enough was said, yeah. And just continue to pray, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Well, until next Tuesday. And I will, hopefully I'll see you in the blue room on next Tuesday.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night for now.